This is Mark Levine signing off.
Is the Quality News Network. The Dow Jones had a triple-digit drop in trading today. We'll have the closing numbers on Wall Street coming up in our business block. President Bush is now willing to allow benchmarks in the Iraq War funding bill to measure progress in Iraq. The president is under pressure politically to negotiate with Congress. House members are expected to vote later today on a two-step war funding bill that President Bush has promised to veto. The measure would provide roughly half the funding until July, and then the second half of the war money would be given after a progress report and a second congressional vote. Defense Secretary Robert Gates said such a plan would be disruptive. A group of moderate Republican congressmen met with the president earlier this week to express their concerns about the Iraq war and its effect on their party. In the private meeting, they told the president that conditions in Iraq need to improve dramatically, or else the Republicans will desert him in their support for the war. President Bush is urging Congress to give his troop buildup in Iraq a chance to work. He said, quote, "Why don't we wait and see what happens?" The top U.S. commander, General David Petraeus, will report in September on how effective the troop buildup is. Vice President Dick Cheney spent the night at a U.S. military base in Iraq near former Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein's hometown of Tikrit. Cheney defended the Bush administration's decision to extend military deployments. He said it is, quote, vital to the mission. Cheney went on to the United Arab Emirates. After a decade in office, British Prime Minister Tony Blair announced he will step down on June 27th. He said he did what he thought was right in standing by the U.S. after the September 11th attacks and joining the U.S. as an ally in the Iraq War. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez was questioned by the House Judiciary Committee today about the 8 fired U.S. prosecutors scandal. He admitted that he didn't remember any new details. Republicans want the investigation to be closed. Russian President Vladimir Putin made a blunt and vague statement which criticized the U.S. and linked the American policies to the Third Reich. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, who travels to Moscow next week, described the Russian president's recent moves to roll back reforms and consolidate power as, quote, troubling. In Los Angeles, the Griffith Park fire is expected to be fully contained by nightfall if the weather continues to cooperate. The blaze has burned more than 800 acres. You are listening to the Quality News Network.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I'm here to ask you a question. Has one of your friends or relatives sent you a DVD from another country and you discover that it won't play in your machine? At the Duplication Connection, we can convert any country-coded DVD to play in the U.S. We can also convert your DVDs to play in any country on the planet. Call me at the Duplication Connection at area code 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
Purdue Pharma, the maker of OxyContin, a powerful painkiller, and three of its current and former executives pleaded guilty to misleading the public. They were fined $600 million by the federal government for their claims that the drug was less addictive and less subject to abuse than other prescription pain drugs. The founder of JetBlue Airways, who was also CEO, was replaced by the company's president today. A few months ago, weather-related problems forced the airline to basically shut down for several days. The chairman and CEO of HBO lost his job yesterday after he was arrested over the weekend in Las Vegas on suspicion of assaulting his girlfriend. The Los Angeles Times reported he had previously been involved in a battery case 16 years ago in which HBO paid a female employee $400,000 in a settlement. The U.S. trade deficit reached a six-month high of nearly $64 billion in March. Many retailers reported weak retail sales in April. Walmart had the worst monthly same-store sales in 28 years. And one of Michael Dell's original computers from the 1980s will be part of the Smithsonian Institution's National Museum of American History. Light Sweet Crude trading at $61.81 a barrel. And at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow was down 148 points. The Nasdaq was down 43. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramov.
Okay! Don't you!
South America!
Now, head on with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Hey, is it a little bit warm where you are? It's a little bit warm where I am. Just sort of just leapfrogged right. It's spring, right out of spring, right up into summer. Nice and toasty outside. I got one. If it's warm where you are, if it's hot where you are, if the late mid spring sun is beating down upon you and it's feeling terribly, terribly warm, I have one word for you: gazpacho. That's right. That's right. Bob's been in the kitchen. The fact of the matter is, you are not going to set me on fire, Agnes. I made the gazpacho. Don't try to lie to this audience. I made it.
Okay.
Now, the truth of the matter is, our daughter had her fiesta for Spanish class. Don't get me started. I found out as I was making the gazpacho for the fiesta for Spanish class that the lady who was teaching Spanish this year had had precisely as much Spanish before this year as my daughter had had. That would be none. No kidding, none. But anyway, I had to, she came to me and said, you know, we're having the fiesta and we've got these little recipes, and I looked at her and said, I don't recipes. I don't need no stinking recipes. And whomped her up a batch of gazpacho. And you want to talk about good? Now, seriously, it was fabulous. And to make it a little bit better, now I didn't do it today, but I'm going to do this over the weekend. Make it a little bit better. I'm going to ring the bowl with chilled camarones. Yeah, shrimp. Yeah, I know you do, Morticia. Tish, that's French. Consider making yourself a pot of gazpacho. You'll find it so refreshing. It really does just, it perks you right up. I've been more or less behind the board in the studio. Haven't been outside. Haven't seen the sunlight since this morning. And I was getting a little running down a little bit And Agnes, that angel of my existence, brought me a big, just chilled bowl of that gazpacho with a big dollop of, don't tell my doctor, sour cream in it. And man, it was like coffee. It was just wow. And if you know, make yourself a pot. It'll because it's so bright and so tangy and so tart. It's like spring. It's like summer. And it just brings you to life. It may be the only reason I'm behind the microphone right now, because I had completely run out of gas. But that, with the brightness of the cilantro and the cucumber and the little tiny bit of chili pepper and the cumin, and yeah, okay, break time's over. Back on your heads. We're gonna get busy because there's busy to get. Just as an aside, you know, I go to CNN.com to look and see what's happening, because a lot of times we can play fun with journalism and fun with grammar. Now, I know a lot of you, myself included, to the extent possible, have followed the testimony of Attorney General Alberto Torture Boy Gonzalez. You know, remember the guy who said that the Geneva Conventions were quaint? The guy who said that if it didn't cause organ failure or death, it wasn't torture? Yeah, that Alberto Gonzalez. I've watched his testimony before the House committee today. And you know what? You know, it was you know, the same crap as his, I don't remember. Yeah, I'm surprised I can tie my own shoelaces in the morning. I've forgotten how to do that, too. Pretty much. You know, just living proof of the utter, absolute, and undeniable incompetence of that. How did this idiot get out of law school? Didn't he go to Harvard or something? I mean, I know that you can have a law degree if you can draw Spunky from the matchbook and go to Regent, but damn, I didn't know you could draw the turtle and go to Harvard. Then again, they gave an MBA to George Bush. What am I supposed to think? You know, I used to be a little bit, feel a little bit second rate for having gone to a state school. Not anymore, by God! Not after watching Alberto Gonzalez. What a freak. But anyway, so I watched that, and I thought, well, you know, I'll go check the coverage and see what CNN's got. Now, you know, this website updates constantly. It'll update itself if you leave it up on the desktop. What have I got? Now, mind you, I went looking for Alberto Gonzalez. I've got Bush willing to talk Iraq benchmarks. I've got CNN money, record run ends with tumble. Giuliani plans speech on abortion. Fatal accident on Chesapeake Bay Bridge. By God, there's some national news. Boys arrested in connection with Georgia fires. Abused women turned to suicide by fire. Killer gets last wish, $1,200 in pizza. GPS in cell tracked down heart transplant boy. Scientists, gassy planet, a real scorcher. Extra, extra, read all about it. Mom incites fist fight on school bus. Cops say, extra, extra, balcony brawl stops orchestral concert. Read it here. Michael Moore on hot seat for film's Cuba trip. Terminator deal sets up new adventure. Is it just me, or did I not see Giuliani on there anywhere? No, Giuliani. Yeah, I saw Giuliani. Gonzalez. I'm sorry, I can't tell the crooks without a scorecard anymore. Must be the cilantro. President Bush said the White House is willing to discuss with Congress benchmarks for measuring progress in Iraq. Bull fart. Yeah, he'll discuss them, he just won't implement them. So, you know, that's where we begin our evening. We begin our evening with, I mean, the guy testified all day long, and The update, 5:18 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, May 10th, 2007. And there's no mention of the Gonzalez test. Who's in charge? Okay, so I go down to politics. Bush says he's willing to talk benchmarks. GOP lawmakers to Bush, fix Iraq by September. Okay, let's try U.S. Boys suspected, no. Mom's cell phone, no. Ex-trooper, sir, no. Hell, it didn't even make the lead links for the law section of the CNN homepage. Has it just gone down the memory hole? Is that what we're dealing with here? No interest whatsoever in the Gonzalez testimony. The guy's a felon. Oh, it's updating. Wait a minute. Sorry. The CNN webpage, before my very eyes. I love this. It just updated. Chinese agent convicted. Still nothing about Alberto Gonzalez. It's amazing, isn't it? This is astonishing. Fatal accident on Chesapeake Bay Bridge moved up a little bit. Bush willing to talk Iraq benchmarks moved down. Lord. Is it just me? Do you find the parade of lies that Gonzalez engaged in to be at least marginally interesting? Well, guess what? The liberal media doesn't. This is just astonishing. And especially given what Torture Boy had to say today. Congressman Brad Sherman, a Democrat from California, looks like an affable fellow, had a line of questioning for Gonzalez earlier today, and he asked him, now this is the quote, "The administration's put forward various theories under which anyone, even American citizens, could be arrested without being charged with a crime. One of these is the theory that you could be classified as an enemy combatant. Are there any American citizens being held today for over a month who have been denied habeas corpus or access to an attorney? Gonzalez." I don't believe so, Congressman. Wouldn't it be your duty as Attorney General to make sure that their rights to habeas corpus were honored? Well, you know, there's a lot of people in this government, and sometimes people do things that they shouldn't be. And I'm not suggesting that's occurring here, but you're asking me a question I hadn't really thought about. Don't! The Attorney General. Easy, Bob. Easy. Easy, fella. There. Somebody get me a sugar cube. The sitting Attorney General of the United States, I think he was under oath and everything. He told a member of Congress that he doesn't. I hadn't really. You're asking me a question I hadn't really thought about. Well, damn it, Bert. We didn't ask you if you'd thought about it. We asked you if you had anybody in your secret torture prisons that you were denying habeas corpus to, USOP. Oh, God. Oh, where's the lightning bolt? Zeus! Does that just make pluck me in the head, do 360 degrees like The Exorcist or something? I hadn't really given any thought to habeas. How do you say that again? Habeas what? Is there any agency answerable to the Department of Justice? We're all answerable to put the Constitution into our laws. Yes. To put the Constitution into our laws. No, Sunshine, Birdie, Fredo. The Constitution is the basis for the laws. Now, I mean, I don't want to drag you all the way back to the paper chase and 1L there at Harvard or nothing. But the Constitution is one great big legal trump card. If the law doesn't agree with the Constitution, then the law is unconstitutional. We put the Constitution into all our laws. It's just like Mother used to put love into her baked beans. Go! Now, are there any U.S. citizens being held now by foreign governments or foreign organizations without access to attorneys as a result of rendition, where agents of the administration have taken people into custody and then given them up to foreign officials? Congressman, I don't know if I have the question to that question either. It's something I would have to look at. Take him out! Take him out! Wouldn't you, as the chief officer responsible for protecting our civil rights, want to know? Well, yes. And I'm not suggesting that is occurring. It's just, quite frankly, I hadn't thought about it. Jesus, Bert, what did you think about? What did you think about before you came to what, did they tell you over coffee that you were coming this morning? Well, I was thinking about testifying about what a bunch of un-American jihad lovers the Democrat Party is. That's what I was thinking about.
Would you respond for the record?
I'd be happy. If I can respond to the question, I will.
Okay.
Next question.
Let me move on to another question. You now have focused more on the... I don't want the press to run out and say, oh my gosh, U.S. citizens are being held by the government secretly, other governments.
I don't think that's the case. I just want the American public to understand that.
All right, Fredo, if you were a tree, what kind of a tree would you be? I quit. And of course, you know what? That's one thing. I mean, I understand Congressman Sherman did a good job. But when you've got a liar on the stand, and you know you've got a liar on the stand, wouldn't it be good to engage in some good cross-examination technique and ask leading questions of the witness? You know, Congressman Sherman's in the majority. I'll bet you he could get away with it now. Not that I'm not gooning on Congressman Sherman. Let's see. There was a lot of testimony here today. Well, okay, there were a lot of questions. Not what you'd call a lot of answers. This was, I mean, if I was, I'll tell you how bad it was. If I was a Republican, you know, if I was one of those no good, soulless, motherless, heartless, money grubbing, religion industry, Falwell worshiping Republicans, I would have been embarrassed today. And then also in the testimony, Congresswoman Linda Sanchez pressed Fredo on the issue of just exactly how many of these U.S. attorneys had been fired. She didn't have much more luck either. Okay, I think this is going to be audio.
Linda Sanchez.
I thank the chairman. Good morning, Mr. Gonzalez. Mr. Gonzalez, you've consistently maintained that only 8 U.S. attorneys were forced out of their positions, yet today's Washington Post states that there was a 9th, Todd Graves. Are there any more U.S. attorneys that we should know about that were forced out?
Congresswoman, it's always been my understanding that this focus has been on the 8 United States attorneys that were asked to resign last December 7th and June 14th, including Bud Cummings.
Mr. Attorney General, with all due respect, in page 2 of your testimony that you've previously given, you stated that there were only 8 that were forced out.
As part of this process, as part of this review process.
As part of the review process. God only knows how many more were in the purge. Drip, 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 drip.
That I asked Mr. Sampson to conduct, and which resulted in the culmination in December of 06. These were the individuals that this process identified as where changes should be appropriate. Now, clearly, throughout my tenure as Attorney General, throughout the tenure of my predecessor and other Attorney Generals, U.S. attorneys have left the department for a number of variety of reasons. So that happens.
Let's stop there.
Yes.
Are you
pause,
familiar?
Pause. Yeah, because they've left for a number of reasons. You know, some they were. You'd be surprised. We were walking around the Department of Justice. There were all kinds of U.S. attorneys standing on the ledges. Some of them jumped. Some were pushed.
Former U.S. attorney in Los Angeles, Deborah Wong Yang.
Yes.
And are you aware that she resigned her position in October of 2006 and took a position with a private law firm?
Yes, I am.
Do you have information as to whether Ms. Yang's resignation was entirely voluntary?
From what I know, Ms. Yang's resignation was entirely voluntary. She did a wonderful job.
Okay, and are you aware that when Ms. Yang went to this firm, she received what has been reported as a $1.5 million bonus for joining the private law firm?
I don't know what she received, but whatever it was a bargain for the firm, because she's an outstanding lawyer.
Are you aware of any reason why she would have been given such an extraordinary bonus payment to hire an individual like her?
I suspect that given her outstanding qualifications, the fact that she's a woman, an Asian American, would make her particularly attractive to her.
Oh!
Don't even.
I think they gave her $1.5 million because it was affirmative action. You know, we've talked about affirmative action before. But, you know, she was an Asian woman. She was a woman. And, you know, they gave her $1.5 million because it would be very good for them to have an Asian woman on the staff.
Private
firm. So you think a $1.5 million signing bonus is typical for a situation like that?
Again, that's a decision for that firm to make.
Okay.
Stutter.
And this has been reported in the press, that when she was hired by the firm, Ms. Yang was conducting an active investigation into Republican Congressman Jerry Lewis and his financial dealings with a particular lobbying firm. Were you aware of that?
I may have been aware of that.
I'm not anymore. I promise I am not aware of that anymore. I may have been aware, but I am not. Next, mommy.
You know, doesn't that kind of suggest that he's lying with the way that he's carrying on?
Darling, I would like you to apply. I would like you to apply what I like to call the mommy test to Fredo Gonzalez here.
Well, that's what I'm doing.
Okay, if one of our kids started da 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 da, you know. Is that the point where the mommy sense comes in and you know that there's a big old honker just, you know,
Oh yeah, I mean he's busted right there. Just the stuttering and the vocal tics, the way he's touching himself.
No, he's not. You quit that.
He's covering his mouth. Rick, if you're out there listening, call.
Watch the video then call. Okay, back to Fredo.
Can't say that I was aware of that, but that is very likely. We have public corruption investigations and prosecutions that are occurring every day all over the country, Congresswoman. So it would not be unusual that
let me tell you what concerns me. What concerns me are the reports that the same firm that hired Ms. Yang away from her post as a U.S. attorney with a large bonus payment also coincidentally happens to be the firm that represents Mr. Lewis in this matter.
Does
coincidence trouble you?
Not at all, because, again, what we have to remember is that, and for the American people need to understand this, is that these investigations are not run primarily by the United States attorneys. They're handled by assistant United States attorneys, career prosecutors. And so
she had no...
Wait, so you've got a high-profile... Work with me here. What Fredo just said is that when you've got a high-profile case against a member of the United States Congress, the chief law enforcement officer of the district, to wit, the U.S. attorney, doesn't handle the case. The case is instead handled by some dude who just, 2 years out of law school and really just, beginning to learn how to carry the briefcase.
See, these public corruption cases, they're handled by assistant U.S. attorneys. They're not really handled by the U.S. attorney.
Slowly, breathing. I may have to stop and do Tai Chi for a minute. Maybe it's time for the salutation to the sun or strike palm to ask Buddha or something. No, let's put this together here. Deborah Wong Yang, according to Torture Boy Gonzalez, was hired and given a salary and a signing bonus that is commensurate to the signing bonus you might give to a young baseball player in the insane... she was given $1.5 million just to quit her job. Okay, let's reframe it there. Thank you, George Lakoff. She was given $1.5 million to quit her job by the same firm that at the same time was defending the congressman that she was investigating. Now, let's take another step here and understand that when the U.S. Attorney's Office involves itself in something... Now, I've got a buddy who does defense work in front of the federal bench, and he's the one that I consult for a lot of this stuff, and he gives me the sort of skinny and lowdown on it. And just to add credibility, dude is a hardcore Republican, okay? But we've been friends for a long, long, long time, and so we can still talk as long as we agree it won't be politics. So I can ask him lawyering questions because he lawyers in front of the federal bench, and he represents the pimps and crack dealers and stuff like that in front of the federal bar. And rule one that he tells me of practicing in front of the federal bench is that if you're defending, you're going to lose. Because where federal law is concerned, everything is tilted in favor of the government. That's what made the whole Patrick Fitzgerald thing so frustrating, because there's an old saying among people who do criminal work in front of the federal bar that a good U.S. attorney could indict, and this is a quote, could indict a ham sandwich. Because a grand jury is just putty in their hands. A grand jury only sees the information the U.S. attorney wants them to see. And all they have to do is make a decision as to whether or not it is A, more likely than not that a crime was committed, and B, that if it is more likely than not that a crime was committed, then it is also more likely than not that the person being investigated is the person who committed the crime that was more likely than not committed. Okay? Are we there? All right. So, it stands to reason that, was it Congressman Jerry Lewis? See, I'm kind of lost now. This is so mind-boggling. My eyeballs have just gone whoop right into the back of my head. This woman, as the U.S. attorney, was investigating Congressman Jerry Lewis... She was investigating Congressman Jerry Lewis, and the law firm that was defending Congressman Jerry Lewis came and made her an offer she couldn't refuse. Now, we're not talking here about a horse's head in the bed. We're talking about $1.5 million large. I mean, that's good money even in L.A. I got a buddy in L.A. who'll say, $1.5 million, yeah, good money in L.A. Probably better money in a place like, you know, Wyoming or the Dakotas or West Virginia or, you know. But it's okay money in L.A. too, because that's the bonus. That's not the salary. That's the bonus. That's the gravy. And so knowing all of this, that the woman was invested in, and, you know, he wasn't going to say anything about, you know, we were going to talk about the 8 who were asked to resign. But bless her little heart, Linda Sanchez wanted to know something different.
These, no role in the investigation,
these
Mr.
investigations,
Lewis?
These prosecutions continue as they should. This great institution is built to withstand departures of U.S. attorneys and attorneys general. And
so you don't think it's inappropriate for a U.S. attorney to accept a lucrative job offer from a law firm representing the target of one of their active investigations in a position that she held just prior to going to that law firm? You don't think that's inappropriate?
Again,
you don't think that there's perhaps at least an appearance of a conflict of interest?
Congressman Sanchez, I'm
wait. And there's another one. There's a key. It is not necessary in Alberto Gonzalez's position to show that he engaged in improper conduct. The key word is the appearance of impropriety. Even the appearance. This is the Caesar's wife standard. Caesar's wife must be, you know, above reproach. And that's what she's asking him. Are you concerned about the appearance that this stinks? Not necessarily. You're not, you know, it's the difference between, you know, can you smell the dog pile in your nostrils versus do you see the dog pile on the ground? Does that make any sense? You know, he doesn't have to smell it. It doesn't have to be in his nostrils. It merely has to appear in front of him, and the appearance of it is enough that it should set off bells and whistles and smoke alarms and bing, 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 bing. Warning, Will Robinson. Appearance of impropriety. Ethical problems approaching. But Fredo doesn't know any of that. Because Fredo couldn't defend somebody in magistrate court over a shoplifted biscuit. God knows he couldn't prosecute him. He's not there to prosecute. He is there as a wall. He was there to facilitate the entry into the very bowels of government of the weirdos from Regent Law School, 150 of whom have infected our government. That's what he was there for. He wasn't there to administer justice. Just like John Ashcroft was in that office to bust Tommy Chong, not to try to get the terrorists who killed 3,000 people. Because, after all, the Republicans informed us. You know, the problem is we treat these things as a law enforcement matter. They are law enforcement matters. We have laws and they've been violated. And they should be punished legally so that the world will know once and for all that we stand by our word, that we are a nation of laws and not of men, and that we would... Get bin Laden. Try him at ground zero. And then put him in a cage in solitary for the rest of his life and put a webcam there. And let us watch him die. Alone, miserable, babbling, writing on the walls with a purple crayon. But you see, Fredo doesn't know any of that. Because Fredo's only purpose is to be there and take up space, occupy space, and put up a wall and offer an attorney general opinion. Well, you know, I'm sorry, they've issued a subpoena for Condi Rice, but it's my considered opinion that that subpoena is invalid. He's not a yes man, he's a no man.
Deb Yang, the way that I do, and the people in that firm, is that she would be recused from anything related to that matter as a member of that firm. And again, what's important for the American people to understand is, despite her departure, that case will continue as it should.
So you're not concerned even with the appearance of conflicts of interest?
I'm always
doesn't trouble you at all.
About the appearance of a
especially
conflict.
At a point when the Justice Department is under scrutiny, the morale is probably at the slowest that it's been in decades. And people are questioning the integrity of the DOJ to act in an even-handed and fair manner.
Of course, as head of the department, I'm always concerned about the appearance and the perception. Of course I am. But again, this is more of a perception for the law firm as opposed to the Department of Justice, because as far as I know, we had nothing to do with placing Ms. Yang in that law firm. And as far as I know, nothing about that investigation has been impacted
or affected in any way
by virtue of her going to work in that firm.
What about this? Are you aware that 1 month before Ms. Yang resigned her post, White House counsel Harriet Myers had asked Kyle Sampson if Ms. Yang planned to keep her post, or if, in Mr. Sampson's words to our investigators, quote unquote, whether a vacancy could be created there in Los Angeles. Were you aware of that?
I think I may be aware of that based upon my review. That I can't remember now whether or not that's reflected in the document.
Stop. Wait. I think I may be aware of that. I'm not sure if I'm aware of that. I might have been aware of that after my review. Oh, Jesus. See, that's a nice cross-examination, Linda Sanchez. Little golf clap from the gallery. Because, you see, I don't know how many times he's committed perjury, but it's like a bunch.
Let me just say this, a couple of things about that. I recall Ms. Yang, when I said she left voluntarily, I think she left involuntarily in that she had to leave for financial reasons. I think if she could have, she would have stayed. But I think...
Take the slider and put it back just a little bit there, Agnes, because I think there's some noise in the background. I think I said she left voluntarily, but I think she left involuntarily for, financial reasons, you know? And that's why she had to have the $1.5 million, you know, like she had gambling debts or something. Yeah, that's the ticket.
I recall Ms. Yang, when I said she left voluntarily, I think she left involuntarily in that she had to leave for financial reasons. I think if she could have, she would have stayed. But I think she had to leave for financial reasons.
Former Chairman Jim Sensenbrenner of Wisconsin.
Never mind. So this is where Sensenbrenner, who's insane, remember this is the guy who authored a bill encourage. Yeah, we're not going to fool with Sensenbrenner. He's insane. We don't do, no. This is where he got the knee pads out and went and did for Alberto what Monica did for Bill. You're so cute when the coffee comes out your nose, Agnes. Can somebody please... Who indicts the Attorney General? Oh, we'd need a special prosecutor. Damn. And we let that special prosecutor law lapse the minute George Bush got into office, didn't we? Ah, darn. You know, we might be able to get Ken Starr to come and investigate Alberto. Oh, wait, there's not enough sex. Jeez, will somebody please send a stained blue dress to the Attorney General so we can catch him with it, and then we can finally put him in prison where he belongs? Hey, wow, this has been a hell of a filibobster. Let's take a break. Okay, Agnes, didn't see that one coming, did you? Jump right in. 877-443-2366 is the number. 304-658-5453 if you want to do it on your nickel. Either way is fine by me. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to the Head-On Radio Network, The Horn. And I'm Bob.
Maybe I should have called you first, but I was The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe in what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
I never thought my daughter and I would ever think the same thing is cool.
At home, my boys are like a wrecking ball. But when they volunteer, they're actually shaping things up.
Hey, they plant a tree at the local park. Clean the place up.
She makes new friends. She has a great time.
My son loves it. He's contributing.
These are nice kids.
The Are You Into It volunteer program is a great way for you and your kids to make a difference in the community while making friends. So, if you're into it, or you think your kid might be, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH. Or visit our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
We can't get him to clean his room, but he loves volunteering.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
This is my show, not John's. 11.5 minutes before the hour. I love that flute. I'm Bob Kincaid, and a little note for you here coming up after the top of the hour news. Fascinating conversation we're going to have with a gentleman by the name of Larry Zilliax. He is with Investigative Research Specialists in Virginia, and he's done some amazing work on the Bush-Reverend Moon connection. Now, and this is not tinfoil hat stuff. This is real. I mean, there's photographs of, oh, thank you for the money, Reverend. You know, that kind of stuff. And we'll be talking after the top of the hour news. I think you'll find it very interesting, very informative. A couple of quick emails, and then we head right back to the phones from our good pal Georgia out west. I'm listening in real time, and you finally asked the perfect question for Fettuccine Alfredo. Oh, another name, boy, I tell you. That one's going to stick. That one goes in the book, Fettuccine Alfredo. What kind of tree would you be? Well, I can tell you that if he was a flower, he wouldn't be a forget-me-not.
Vet Weasel's memory was as bad as he lets on. He couldn't remember his own name. I tell you true, if he was my kid, I'd slap the snot out of him for lying like he does. I couldn't believe his performance. What a lousy actor. Well, you know, it's a hallmark of Republicans. They're bad actors, from Fred Thompson to Ronald Reagan, Arnold Schwarzenegger. And from our pal Marty, Ken Starr would not be available to investigate. He's currently the attorney for Blackwater. All too true. I forget these things. Sometimes I actively try to forget these things. But Dave is calling from Eureka, California. Hey, Dave, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Hey, Bob. Thank you. What is, I guess, obvious to all of us is that Mr. Gonzalez is a totally harmonious, compatible part of this very criminal, deceitful, corrupt administration that has stolen our government. And he fits right in. He's a piece of their little network.
And he's going nowhere. Unless somebody removes him from office peacefully and legally, Dave, he's going nowhere.
That is an administration that's saying to the people of this country, we don't care what you think, and we don't care how you vote. We control all that. That's what they're saying to us, I think.
I tend to agree. It's a great big, you know, to us. We don't care what they don't care what the American people think about the war. They don't care what the American people think about bringing the troops home. They don't care. Nothing.
Well, I think it would be a good thing if they keep Gonzalez on a few more days. I think even though the news doesn't see it as a worthy, a lot of Americans are going to get to see this administration doing its thing.
Well, I'm still checking. I went back to CNN again. Still nothing on the main page about Gonzalez. I mean, let's have some fun here for a minute, Dave. If you were a big time news editor, would you find that story that was broken in the Washington Post and alluded to by Congresswoman Linda Sanchez, would you find that to be newsworthy, maybe more newsworthy than, say, mom incites fist fight on school bus, cops say?
Yes, I think I would, but I'm feeling that it would not be possible for an administration like what has got our country right now to continue if we had some semblance of a real free press. You know, small networks on the radio, like what we're on right now, is revealing to some people. But it's not, you know, as most people sit down and turn on the news, and everybody says, if any of what you're saying is true, wouldn't that be all over the news? So they're actually a part of the problem. They're causing many people to think this government couldn't be that bad, or don't you think these reporters would be saying that at every turn?
But Bush's approval rating is at 28%. He's what, 3 percentage points, 4 percentage points away from Nixon land? Don't you think the American people's paying a little bit more attention now, Dave?
I guess so. You know, and I think even that's a bit inflated and padded, because they have some high-tech folks I know very much that can get into these computers. And
well, what's the usual margin of error, plus or minus 4%?
I think so.
You know, within like a chi-square kind of approach. So that means he's already at Nixon.
Very likely.
Which means we're down to the last little hardcore knot of weirdo fundamentalists who, if they saw George Bush drowning babies on K Street, would swear he was performing an impromptu baptism.
Yes, that little core, I suppose, of the gay-hating fundamental evangelicals and billionaires, greedy billionaires.
Well, I think even the billionaires are beginning to turn. Did you see this thing that Lee Iacocca put out? It was emailed to me, but I ran across it over at Common Dreams. He just blistered the hide off of him, off of George Bush, Dave. And yet, as Bart Kopp noted on his page today, I see these things of these people turning on George Bush now, and where the heck were you 5 years ago? He was bad 5 years ago, too. I mean, do these people just have bad judgment? Have they been asleep, on drugs, smoking crack, under the bridge drinking the screw-top wine? Yeah, what took 5 years for these people to figure it out?
Well, I think the big corporations, the multinationals that Eisenhower warned us about, do put money in the pockets of a lot of elected officials, Democrats and Republicans. That's playing a part in their thinking. And I don't know, Iacocca. I don't think he would be accepting payoffs But yes, he did. They're making a lot of the military vehicles. No, he's out of that now, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He's just sitting around being independently incredibly wealthy.
Yeah, I think he runs an electric bike company. But, well, I'm glad he's speaking out, and I wish some more would be. You know, I would think you would hear it from Ted Turner. I think you'd hear it from Donald Trump, some of the others that are big, influential, money people who want not to be a part of what they're all about. I would think that would be hearing more of that.
Well, I mean, it's kind of nice to have them finally, finally catching on, but it's a little too late for me in many ways, Dave. Because after all, they're going to have a chance. You know, there's part of this that makes me feel like it's the setup for the big blow off at a carnival show. Because well, that Bush, he sure is a screw up, but boy, Rudy's going to be a good president, ain't he? Can you hear it coming?
I don't know. You know, how can people remain as ignorant as they do of what's really happening? Does anybody want to be a part of the destruction of a country that they live in? You know, and they're doing that. You know, they're destroying our treasury, our environment, everything that they can do. What they can do wrong, they're doing it. And who wants to go on that ride?
We're already on it, and they see. Yeah. It's like the old gag by the one-liner or joke or bit or whatever by George Carlin from many, many years back where he said he was doing the phony news and he said, 27 people in Cleveland today were subjected to 12 hours of continuous whiplash when a man claiming to be the devil hijacked a roller coaster. Well, we're on that ride.
Yeah. There's no mention anywhere that one congressman named Kucinich has introduced an investigation into impeachment of the vice president. And that doesn't hit the news. That's not newsworthy, is it? Not in this country.
Gosh, no.
Maybe in some other countries they'll find that newsworthy. But. Well, I so much appreciate Head On that you guys, you do call it as it is. You're very direct. I wish it was heard all over the place.
Well, it is. I mean, you'd be surprised. We grow every day. And with help of organizations like Phonostar and Receiva.com and iTunes Radio and our good buddies over at WD40.com who have a player up, we've got a standalone player you can get at the website. We are literally based on the information that I get, we are growing leaps and bounds every day.
Wow, that's great. That is great because I think more people need to hear what you're saying. Guy, Mark, all of you, you know, you really do have a way of putting truth out. And the others I see, you know, most of the media, their job is to sit there and keep us disinformed, deceived.
Well, you know, I don't think I could ever do a job like, say, Olbermann does, because I'd be out of the chair, across the desk, and rolling on the floor at some point. I admire him for being able to keep his composure, because it's more than I'm capable of.
He seems to be the big exception, isn't he, in mainstream media? I guess he's got such ratings they can't afford to get rid of him.
Yeah, and people enjoy him. And frankly, it's becoming kind of chic to have finally figured out George Bush. You know, day late and a dollar short, horses out of the barn and the barn's on fire, but you know what I mean. We've got a roll. We're at the top of the hour news, Dave. Awfully good to hear from you.
Thank you so much. Good to hear from you.
You take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. And news is coming up after that. Larry Zilox, I hope I'm saying his name right. We've only communicated by email. That makes it kind of tough. He will be around about 5 past the hour. This Mooney thing is going to blow you away. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. News is next.
News Network. President Bush is now willing to allow benchmarks in the Iraq War funding bill to measure progress in Iraq. The president is under pressure politically to negotiate with Congress. The Dow Jones had a triple-digit drop in trading today. We'll have the closing numbers on Wall Street coming up in our business block. House members are expected to vote today on a two-step war funding bill that President Bush has promised to veto. The measure would provide roughly half the funding until July, and then the second half of the war money would be given after a progress report and a second congressional vote. A group of moderate Republican congressmen met with the president earlier this week to express their concerns over the war and its effect on their party. In the private meeting, they told the president that conditions in Iraq need to improve dramatically, or else Republicans will desert the president on support for the war. President Bush is urging Congress to give his troop buildup in Iraq a chance to work. He said, quote, "Why don't we wait and see what happens?" The top U.S. commander, General David Petraeus, will report in September on how effective the troop buildup really is. After a decade in office, British Prime Minister Tony Blair announced he will step down on June 27th. He said he did what he thought was right in standing by the U.S. after September 11th attacks and joining the U.S. as an ally in the Iraq War. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez was questioned by the House Judiciary Committee today and about the 8 fired U.S. prosecutors scandal. He admitted that he didn't remember any new details. Republicans want the investigation to be closed. Russian President Vladimir Putin made a blunt and vague statement which criticized the U.S. and linked the American policies to the Third Reich. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice travels to Moscow next week, described the Russian president's recent moves to roll back reforms and to consolidate power as troubling. In Los Angeles, the Griffith Park fire that has threatened historic landmarks and pricey real estate is expected to be fully contained by nightfall if the weather continues to cooperate. The urban blaze thus far has charred 817 acres and is the third fire in the famed Hollywood Hills this year. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Business and Science coming up next.
Hi, I'm George Lopez. In comedy, there are some things you can count on to get a smile. In healthcare, Shriners Hospitals for Children have a proud tradition of bringing smiles to kids with orthopedic burn and spinal cord problems. The Shriners offer world-class medical care to children absolutely without charge. At all 22 Shriners Hospitals, innovative research and teaching programs are combined with specialized pediatric services for one purpose, to improve the lives of children. For more information, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, having fun and helping kids.
There was this man who almost learned to walk at a rehab center that almost got built by people who almost gave. Almost gave. How good is almost giving? About as good as almost walking. As generous a nation as we are, sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. Don't almost give. Give. Visit our website at don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Purdue Pharma, the maker of OxyContin, a powerful painkiller, and three of its current and former executives pleaded guilty to misleading the public. They were fined $634 million by the federal government for their claims that the drug was less addictive and less subject to abuse than other prescription pain drugs. The U.S. Treasury Department is investigating controversial filmmaker Michael Moore, who took ill September 11th workers to Cuba for a new documentary on healthcare titled Sicko. The founder of JetBlue Airways, who was also CEO, was replaced by the company's president today. A few months ago, weather-related problems forced the airline to basically shut down for several days. The chairman and CEO of HBO, Chris Albrecht, lost his job yesterday after he was arrested over the weekend in Las Vegas on suspicion of assaulting his girlfriend. Light sweet crude oil has been trading above the 61 a barrel mark today. It is currently trading at $61.81 a barrel. At the close of Wall Street today, the Dow had a triple digit drop, down 148 points at 13,215. The Nasdaq was down 43 points at 2533. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Claudia Eisner.
It's your second hour in the liberal sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Five minutes past the hour. Welcome back. I'm still Bob. And it is, we've talked about it from time to time on this program, and it's a topic that's sort of spider webbish, and you can get all caught up and stuck up and turned around, and I think it's rather deliberate. The bizarre relationship between Reverend Moon, the Washington Times Foundation, the Unification Church, and who else? The Bush family. Now, there are folks out there who have taken the time to try to sort out this, it's a web of intrigue, okay? It really is. One of those people is a gentleman by the name of Larry Ziliox, and Mr. Ziliox is the president of Investigative Research Specialists in Virginia. Are you there with us now, Mr. Ziliox?
Yes, I am.
Thank you so much for joining us this evening, sir. I appreciate you taking the time to sort some of this out for us. How long have you been following the Moon stuff?
I would say about 20 years.
Any particular reason?
It's just a fascinating hobby, I guess. There's no other organization like it in the world.
But this is also part and parcel of stuff that you do in your sort of regular line of work. I mean, you investigate things, right?
That's correct. We're licensed private investigators. We primarily do business research for companies, for investors. We also do political opposition research, and I'm the author of a book on how to do political research.
Oh, wow. We should talk about that sometime, too, because I think that's something our side of this debate could learn, stand to learn. Let's go right to the Reverend Moon stuff. First of all, let me ask you, is there any hard and fast way of knowing knowing how much Reverend Moon is worth these days?
You know, there isn't. It's a hard figure to pin down. The movement itself is very large and vast, and it encompasses the religious aspect, which is probably, I don't know, maybe 20%, the political aspect, which is probably 40%, and the business aspect, which is probably 60%. They have a large number of businesses, from, as you know, the Washington Times, and fish businesses and restaurants and
UPI.
They just tons of businesses. And I think a little known fact that most people aren't aware of is that Sung Young Moon controls, through the unification movement and the businesses and entities that comprise it, he controls more private real estate than anyone else in the world.
I heard something once upon a time about vast holdings in what, Paraguay, Uruguay, Argentina, maybe Brazil, but they hold lands all over the world.
They do hold land in large amounts in Japan, large amounts in Korea, China. They own about almost $500 million worth here in the United States that I've been able to identify. And then, like you speak of in South America, just to give you a rough idea, from one of their web pages, I found a speech that Moon had given, and he was talking about their real estate holding. And part of the speech, he went on to say that if they added all of our land together, we would have a total of 2.4 million acres in South America. In their Paraguay holdings, they estimate are about one-tenth of the country.
That's amazing, Larry. Let me there's a substantial focus topic that I want to get to, but you just turned a little light on for me. The Bush family recently purchased thousands upon hundreds of thousands of acres in Paraguay, up near the nexus of the border between Bolivia and Paraguay and Chile and Argentina, if I recall correctly. Is there any tie-in there?
Well, not that I'm aware of. I've seen those references out there to the Bush family purchasing property there. I haven't seen any evidence of it yet. I don't know if that might have been property that was previously owned by the movement or someone else down there. So I really don't have any information about that, but, you know, it's certainly possible.
Well, and I think the reason I ask this is after we get through talking about this latest little mystery that you have delved into, I don't think that becomes a crazy assertion, because I guess it was about a week ago that I was reading on the web, and I saw some work from you talking about a recent donation from the Moons to Family Bush. Could you just start in on that, please?
Well, a number of years ago, I started to see money flow from entities that are part of the unification movement towards the Bush family. I really started to pay attention when I noticed a $250,000 contribution from the Washington Television Center in Washington, D.C., to the George Bush inaugural celebration committee. And that was the maximum donation that they were accepting at the time. The Washington Post had printed a list, and that name jumped out at me because I knew that to be a company that held a large office building in Washington, D.C., and that's part of the companies that Moon controls. And so I started to look a little bit closer, and I started to see money flowing to nonprofits that the Bush family supports. And most recently, the contribution that you were talking about was a $100,000 contribution to the Barbara Bush, let me get the name right, I think it's the Campaign for Literacy, Family Literacy, Barbara Bush Foundation for Family Literacy in Houston.
Yeah.
And I found this on the tax return, the 2005 tax return for the Washington Times Foundation.
So, but that's not the end of that connection. There's a lot more money flowing around. There's even been some speculation, or not, maybe it's not even speculation now, Larry, that the Moonies have been instrumental in providing funding for the Bush Library.
Well, what I found a couple of years ago was that the Washington Times had donated $1 million to the Greater Houston Community Foundation. And I found this on their 2003 tax return. And it was by far the largest donation of the year. The next one behind it was $254,000 to the American Family Coalition, which is another front group of the unification movement. But I had no idea why they would be donating so much money to a nonprofit so far away. I began to look at the Greater Houston Community Foundation, and I found out that it is it's a nonprofit organization that allows people to donate to it. It manages the donation, and then it donates out per the donee's instructions to other nonprofit organizations. But in this particular case, I thought it might be a way for them to launder a donation to the Bush Presidential Library. And I contacted a reporter for the Houston Chronicle and gave him the information. He did some digging around, and he was able to determine through interviews that that's exactly what had happened, that the donation had gone through the Greater Houston Community Foundation, came out the other side, and $1 million had been given to the George Bush Presidential Library.
Now, the Moonies are bizarre, and I've heard occasionally prone to less than or quasi or semi or illegal practices. Why should this interest us?
Well, I think when you think about all the real estate that Moon controls and the businesses and the amount of money, the influence that he has through the Washington Times with the current administration and previous administration, like it or not, Moon's a world player. He's very well connected. I suspect he may act as a back channel for our government to other governments, maybe perhaps North Korea, China at a time.
Yeah, but interesting. Interesting the way they throw the word unification around and makes you kind of wonder, doesn't it?
Well, you know, the Unification Church as an entity hasn't existed for a number of years. They've sort of stopped calling themselves the Unification Church and have branched out into a multitude of nonprofit organizations, the Interreligious and International Federation for World Peace, the Women's Federation for World Peace, the Family Federation for World Peace. So now they operate under a score of World Peace names.
They also have had their fingers in the American fundamentalist movement, haven't they?
Well, they certainly have. A number of years ago, Moon, again through his wife's organization, the Women's Federation for World Peace, funneled some money to Jerry Falwell.
That was basically the bailout of Falwell University, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yes.
There's something fundamentally distressing about all of this, Larry. What happens if you ask people associated with the Bushes about their Moon connection?
Well, the Houston Chronicle reporter had asked Bush spokesman about it, and he acknowledged it, but you know he put the question to him. Based on what my theory behind the donation was, my theory is pretty much that all this money flowing towards the Bush family and their nonprofits and family members is geared towards securing a pardon from the current president for Moon. And he said, of course, that that's ridiculous. That's not the way the family operates, and it would never happen. But you know, there's a tremendous amount of money here. But the total that we're aware of at this point is about $3,335,000.
Just to Bush-related organizations?
Yeah, the organizations and Newsweek came out, you know, last year, Neil Bush, the president's brother, was seen in the Philippines and Taiwan with Moon. And we had no idea why until recently Newsweek did a story on Neil Bush's company Ignite, which provides these curriculum assistance sort of programs, a portable device that you wheel into a classroom and teach from. And
yeah, they've hustled those in Dubai, I think, among other places.
Yeah.
And they've hustled them in Texas and hustled them in California, haven't they?
Yes, and the Business Week confirmed that the movement had donated $1 million to Washington D.C. area schools here to as a grant to purchase some of those. So clearly, Neil Bush would be the beneficiary of that since his company manufactures those.
So you know when Granny tunes in the old time gospel hour, for instance. It goes without saying that she doesn't realize that she's patronizing a patron of, you know, the man who invented the Moonies. What happens to this information? I mean, this is the kind of stuff I would expect to see above the fold, Larry. But it doesn't. I mean, what do you think? I mean, those rock-ribbed Republicans are believing independence and pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps and all of that stuff. What happens to them if you say, oh, by the way, you know, they're kind of neck deep with the Moonies? What do they do?
Well, it is, you know, it's a question that's been posed to many of Republicans and to conservatives and to a lot of the ministers that have been involved with Moon for many, many years. And here's a guy who believes he's the Messiah. He was crowned the Messiah on Capitol Hill.
There's video of that out there, and photographs of this Messiah ceremony, and it was participated in by members of Congress, and nothing. It's crickets.
It's incredible. And you know, here's a guy who will make statements like, "If you don't speak Korean, you're not going to heaven." But yet, you know, it's the money. It's the money that drives this organization. It's the money that drives the connections, and money is influence and power. You know, so I think that this money has been flowing towards the Bushes so that he can get a pardon for his tax evasion conviction.
So, and what happens if he gets a pardon?
Well, it's basically internal. It's what the movement wants, and it basically within the movement they believe that Moon was unfairly persecuted, that it was a case of religious persecution, and a pardon would validate all the things that they've been saying for all these years, is that, you know, he wasn't a crook, he wasn't a tax cheat, that he just was misunderstood, it was a big mistake, that the government's own agents had said, well, really, he only owed about $7,000 in taxes. And there's a number of stories that the movement puts out as to why he was persecuted, and if he was to be granted a pardon, then it would basically say, you know, what they've been saying all along is true. And what they don't say in the movement, and what people today don't understand, is that this story and this money flowing to Bush goes back to 1975, when Moon and his cronies tried to take over a bank in Washington, D.C. It was the Diplomat National Bank, and in the late 70s, the Securities and Exchange Commission got wind of it, and they initiated enforcement action against Moon and against his primary corporate entity at the time, Unification Church International. Now, Unification Church International is not a church. It's a for-profit holding company based in Virginia. It's never been a nonprofit organization since the day it was incorporated. It just says in its incorporation papers that it's there to benefit and further the movement. So they initiated this enforcement action against Moon for attempting to gain control by having himself and followers purchase stock in the Diplomat National Bank. Now, at the time, the law was pretty clear. If, as a group of people together acting in concert, purchased stock and owned more than 5%, they were required to report that. And they failed to do so, and they initiated this enforcement action. So at the time, Moon gave a deposition to SEC lawyers, which he said, this money is not Unification Church money. This was a loan to me. It's my personal money. It was loaned to me by a foundation we have in Japan for retirement of elderly members, and it was my own personal money. And the SEC then agreed and said, okay, well, we're gonna enter into agreement where you agree not to do anything like this again in the future. And that was the end of that issue. But what I believe happened at that point is that the SEC turned around and said, well, if that's his money, let's just tell the IRS, and if it was his money, he should have reported it on his tax returns for those years.
Yeah, it becomes taxable income, sure.
That's right. And you couldn't have it both ways. They either got jammed up trying to gain control of the Diplomatic National Bank, or he got in trouble because this was his money, he claimed, under sworn testimony, and yet he hadn't reported it on his tax returns. And that's why he was convicted and went to jail. It's not because he was religiously persecuted.
Has any of this money that have you been able to find, Larry, that if any of this money worms its way into, say, campaign coffers anywhere?
No, that's a really tough thing to pin down. I think I haven't been able to find any kind of donations. You know, individual members will donate to campaigns, and you'll see those duly recorded. But, you know, I think the benefit to the political process that the movement can give is through the Washington Times.
Ultimately, the people who get the money know where the money has come from, though, don't they?
Sure.
Now, you mentioned when you mentioned the Bush Library, that was the first Bush Library. Am I correct?
Yes.
Are you keeping tabs on money flowing into the current Bush Library?
Well, yes, but that's a tricky thing to keep an eye on. I don't think it's gotten to the point where they're required to report. I'm not sure what the status, whether it's going to be a private foundation or 501c3. But that is certainly something we're going to look at, yeah.
Is this influence, do you think, and this is kind of the wrap-up, I suppose, Larry, and I really appreciate you taking time to be with us. Is this deleterious to the health and well-being of the Republic?
Well, I think whenever you have crazy people with a lot of money, they're dangerous. And, you know, Moon is, like I said, a world player, and he's in a position to influence people.
And crazy.
Yep, and you know I guess if you believe you're the Messiah, you probably aren't bothered by worldly laws.
Oh, it's the rest of us that suffer, isn't it?
Yeah.
Larry Ziliox, thank you very kindly. And I'm very serious. Come back sometime and let's talk about your opposition research book. Give me the name of that again, please.
It's called The Opposition Research Handbook, and if someone's interested in it, they can go to our webpage, which is researchops.com,
mm-hmm.
and they can actually purchase a copy and download it immediately, and I'd be happy to come back and talk to you about opposition research and what your listeners can do themselves to help find this kind of information. You know, I think collectively as a group of people, nobody needs to be investigated more than politicians.
Well, I have no problem with it. You know, there's a big difference between, you know, he had a speeding ticket back when blah blah blah, and as compared to, did you know he had a cocaine problem?
Right.
Yeah, you know, I see a wide disparity between those two things, and I thank you very kindly. And again, I hope we will talk again. And when you develop more information along these lines, please let us know, because it's so profoundly underreported.
I will.
All right. Thanks, Larry Ziliox. Take care.
Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
Larry Ziliox, President, Investigative Research Specialist, ResearchOps.com. You can go there and learn about opposition research handbook, and learn how to do this stuff, because, you know, that's the beauty of it. Every time, look, this is one, back up, Bob. One, and we will be going to break in a second. The moon thing matters. $3 million into various and sundry Bush family concerns over the course of just a couple of years. $3 million. And the association with the Bush family goes back to the mid-70s. Now move forward. That moon association has been there through the George H.W. Bush administration. It's there in the George W. Bush administration. And sunshine, in 2012, it's going to be right there in the Jeb Bush campaign. It's not a joke. Now, as far as opposition research is concerned, it's something we all need to learn. Because as soon as that dude signs the statement of candidacy, the filing statement, whatever, and puts R beside his name, you know that there's either, you know the old saying, a dead girl or a live boy in the background somewhere. Because they're Republicans. It is what they do. And the more of us that learn how to do this kind of thing, the more we can stop these people before they get started. Don't you think? I mean, how much better off would America have been to have found out before he ever ran for office what a piece of filth Newt Gingrich was? You know what I mean? Let's take a break. We'll come back. Your phone calls, fire it up. 877-443-2366, toll free on your nickel, 304-658-5453. This is America's liberal voice, The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is a message from NoMoreVictims.org.
In the spirit of Mother's Day and its origin, you can help a child this year by donating to No More Victims as a gift to your mother this Mother's Day. No More Victims brings war-injured Iraqi children to the United States to receive the medical treatment they need. You will help bring Sally, who lost both of her legs in the war in Iraq.
My mother used to say all the time, I look after people's kids because one day I know somebody will look after my kids. I feed people's kids because I know somebody one day will feed my kids. That informs a lot of who I am as a mother. That I know that I'm not only parenting Mavis and Duncan, but I'm responsible for every child that comes through.
Honor your mother. Go to NoMoreVictims.org. Give today.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hello, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, go to IRS.gov and search for identity theft to find out what to do. That's IRS.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484.
I never knew that everything was falling through, that everyone I knew was waiting on a cue to turn and run when all I needed was the truth. But that's how it's gotta be. It's coming down to nothing more than apathy. I'd rather run the other way.
Alrighty then, back at it, halfway through this Thursday edition of Head On. And we go straight to the phones. Diana calls from Washington. Hey, Diana, thanks for calling. Good to hear from you.
Oh, hi, Bob.
How are you?
Can you hear me? I don't know if my phone connection is good.
Oh, it's a great connection.
Oh, good. Hey, you know the subject you brought up about the Moonies? When I was back in college here at the University of Washington, my first year there, I was in the student union building having a cup of coffee, and this tall, really handsome, blonde, curly-haired guy came up to me, and he decided to sit down. You know how the tables are big.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he started talking to me, and I thought he was coming on to me, and then it turns out that he was one of these Moonies. And I didn't even know about Moonies in those days. That was in the 70s. Anyhow, so the long and short of it is I ended up having a quote-unquote, you could call it an informational date with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he started buying me gifts and books and stuff. And the were actually good books, you know, like Metamorphosis by Kafka and things like that.
Right.
And then he sort of kind of said, hey, would you like to come to this meeting we're having? And I said, what meeting? And so I go, and the home was actually on Greek Row, right off Greek Row up here in the university, and I was living in a dormitory up there. And so it wasn't far from there. And so I went to the Greek Row, to the house, and it was the strangest thing because I had been raised a Catholic, but always became more enlightened as I got into college, okay?
Yeah, that tends to happen.
My first year in college was at Seattle University, a Catholic university, on a scholarship, and so I got all that stuff, and it kind of woke me up. And aside from that, one of my college professors had a love affair with one of the girls in our religion class. He was a priest, and he ran off to Tahiti with her, so that helped me let go of that pretty easy, too. But anyhow, this thing with the Moonies was really funny because I had never been exposed to, like, strange behavior in these evangelicals or anything like that, except maybe seeing The Exorcist on TV. I thought that was strange. But what happened was we went to the house, and they're all eating this. In those days, nowadays it's health food, but in those days everybody was pitching in and making vegetarian type fare, you know. And so then they split off into these little groups, okay, and everybody went to their own room, and they sat down in circles, and they started almost like a seance. I almost had a feeling like I was in a religious seance, because I had enough religious experience, teaching, that I knew this wasn't typical Christianity. And so then they started talking about spirits, and I hadn't been exposed really to evil spirits. So they say that you can tell, I remember this paraphrasing it, you can tell if a person has evil spirits. It's an aura they give off. And this religion, this Moonie religion was going to, I think they call themselves Unification Church, yeah.
Right, right.
Anyhow, this was supposed to help you get that skill so that you could stay clear of these spirits and this group. And I'm getting, by way of this long story, I'm getting back to the idea that, to me, after the years and years that I've lived, and I'm 57 now, I think that Moonies and this group that was trying to, after I went there, by the way, I said, oh, this is full of crap, and I was out of there, and I told Gunter, I said, Gunter, go back to Austria and become a free thinker. You know, you'll be better off.
Yeah, there's a reason Moonie rhymes with loony.
Anyhow, so I got away from that, but I think the thing that was interesting to me in retrospect now is that these are kids that are feeling isolated, and very much of a big university, you get isolated.
Sure.
And so you either get into something that you're just immersed in your studies, or you get a hobby, or you have your friends, or whatever. But anyhow, these Moonies pick on people, and they use that group think, which is such a powerful message, whether it be in the religious message, or whether it's
I remember the mass
political message. What?
Remember the mass marriage at Shea Stadium? They used to do these things in the late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah.
And a lot, you know, they've gone underground. As Mr. Ziliox noted, there's not even a unification church anymore. They're completely out. They're about power. They're about acquisition. They're about getting more money. They own billions upon billions of dollars of assets. Millions of square miles of acreage in South America, other millions more.
Yeah, I was listening to you.
And as a consequence of that, I guess maybe the Moonies that they had back then have grown into adults and sort of spread the cult internally as a family.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the notion, among liberals and progressives, the shorthand term for the Washington Times, which is just a shameful right-wing rag, is the Mooney Times, because it has never turned a profit. It just hemorrhages money, and if it was anybody else, it would be fixed. But as it stands, it's just it's a convenient money laundering operation for the Moon organization. Same thing goes with UPI.
Deeper than that, I think the psychological thing about it is feeding into this idea of the group think that they are vulnerable and that they've got these evil spirits out there and that this group is going to protect them, and that even the idea of having a big marriage like that is so insulating, to be isolated in the group. And the same thing with having all the real estate. Hey, we own all this real estate, and that's like having, I live in a gated community. We don't have a gate, but we have our own lake, and we pay dues and everything. And when I get out of here, in a way, I feel like I'm in the real world. But, I just bought it because it was such a wonderful piece of property. But aside from that, I just think that this has more to do with the psychology of needing that. And someday, and I think that when we have our misery high enough, like the old misery index, we get that misery high enough, maybe we will grow out of this, and the people who are locked into this, whether they're Moonies or whether they're people following Robertson, or any of those goofballs, they will grow. And it just shows, look, Bush's numbers are down to 28%, and I think it's lower.
Yeah, well, that's like I was talking with Dave. The margin of error probably would take it down to 23%.
Yeah, and what are those people? Those are walking zombies. They're brain
dead. Those are the fundamentalists.
Yes, they're zombies.
And I predicted that this would happen. I'm not a prophet or anything. It's just extrapolation of natural phenomenon. But I predicted it would happen a good 2.5-3 years ago, and here it is coming true. And the other thing that you've got to bear in mind, and I think you've isolated one facet of it in mentioning that the persecution issue. If you look at the surveys, Diana, something like 80% of America says it's so-called Christian, that believes that Jesus got undead. It believes all kinds of bizarre things, and yet with this nation at 80% professing Christianity, ask Pat Robertson, ask Dobson, ask Falwell, they will tell you that they are a persecuted minority. And see, that's part of cultism, is to tell, we're persecuted, we're outside the world doesn't love us. They're part of the majority, and that's one of the things that I hate them for so much, because they're such intractable liars. If you look at Heaven's Gate, remember those were the ones that had to had to follow the comet in their Nike tennis shoes and and committed suicide. They said, we're persecuted. David Koresh in Waco, Texas, we're persecuted. They all believe and that's how the leaders keep the sheep together.
Well, I think we're starting to come out of it a little. Even today on Ross Story, Putin called us Nazis, and we're getting like the Third Reich. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
And, if the world can look at us and say, hey, you're starting to act like the groupthink from the 1930s, and when our groupthink is that stinky, I mean, we've got to look into ourselves, and that's what I think people are starting to do. And thank God there's some good voices out there like you and Mike Malloy, and Tom Hartman isn't as brave as you guys are, but he's very
smart. But he's an information wellspring.
Yeah. Well, I love listening to you at 3 o'clock here, and it's my time, my downtime, and then I can get up again because I hear all your energy over there and all your regulars who are so wonderful.
Well, you're part of that community, and we're so glad that you are, Diana. Tell your friends and neighbors. I think about this show in my own mindset, and I think of it as a sort of a nighttime show, even though it's broad daylight outside right now, even here. I can't imagine what it would be like to listen to this show at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because I think of it in terms of being sort of a, you know, kickback, you know, sort of grown up. The, you know, I've always been afraid to even think about doing like a noon show or something because I figure it wouldn't play then.
Well, I've got kind of a laid back existence now because I take care of my mom who has Alzheimer's.
And oh, I'm so sorry.
I'm off every other day. I go up to Tacoma, so I don't hear you. But I get the other days where I get to hear you, and I like that James guy. What's his name?
Guy James.
Yeah, I like him.
Oh, too. Guy's wonderful.
Yeah, he's really good. He's not. He doesn't have that spark of you know, that inventiveness you have like Mike Malloy, which I love dearly, and the repartee you have with your wife is, you know, I'm not jealous because I have a wonderful Irish husband who does the same thing, but I enjoy that too, and you're very lucky like I am.
I am.
Keep on keeping on, you guys, because the Moonies aren't going to get us, and the right wing isn't going to get us. We're going to get back.
Well, we got to keep the faith at least just a little bit, don't we?
Oh, Diana? Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. So good to hear from you. I hope we will again soon.
Okay, I'm listening.
Okay, great. You take care.
Okay, bye.
Bye now. Moonies. Just because they're not out there hustling the airports anymore doesn't mean they're not still doing stuff. I'm sure that there's no doubt among you that they're just crazier than a sprayed roach. You know, they're a religion. They're an organized religion. And that means there's going to have to be some insanity involved. But this is really kind of loopy. I remember, I think it was several years ago I shared this, and I went and found it again because it bears repeating. This is the instruct... These are... Take my poor grammar. These are the instructions for the 3-day ceremony of purification between a man and a woman.
Ooh.
Yeah, brace yourself, Ethel. During the first 2 days... I'm reading straight from it. During the first 2 days of the 3-day ceremony, the woman is in the position of the bride of the Messiah and mother to her spouse. Who? Ow! Yuck! Okay. Therefore, she initiates each part of the ceremony. Through the ceremony of the first day, the man is raised from his position of archangel, being reborn as the son of the Messiah and his wife, to the position of sinless Adam in the formation stage. Huh?
What, Edith?
Through the ceremony of the second day, the man is raised from the position of newborn Adam to the Adam before the fall position. Each part of the ceremony of the third day is therefore initiated by the man in his position of Adam. The man takes the leadership role to restore dominion. There's that word. Through this ceremony, they become one as the eternal ideal couple and husband and wife. Can everybody drop acid now? Procedure of the 3-day ceremony. 1. Preparation. A. Selection of the place. Select as holy a place as possible. For example, one might use a unification church center, a house which belongs to a member, the house of physical parents if they have accepted the principle, or some other place with a good spiritual atmosphere. I guess you bring in your spiritual Geiger counter or something. I don't know, maybe it's feng shui. B, you must have... Okay, everybody, write this down. We're going to get all purified and be... Now, I'm sorry, Agnes. I am not going to call you mother.
Oh, God, no. My brain is bleeding. Oh.
You know, the Ronald Reagan thing was real trouble for me all through the... Well, mommy. Okay, you must have the holy handkerchief, the holy salt, the holy gown, paren clothes, 2 basins or bowls, and a picture of the true parents. Optional, 2 cushions to designate the places of true parents, and a shimjung candle. Part C, the holy salting. Yep. The room must be sanctified. To do so, begin with a prayer offered something like the following. We are going to carry out the three-day ceremony in this room. Please sanctify this room so that this place may become a holy place. Continue with a prayer of gratitude, etc. Then, in order that Satan cannot invade this room, we sanctify it in the names of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, our true parents, and your name here. The room and the bathroom, we got to have two rooms now. They lied. They said we only needed one, but now we got to have two. We got to have a room and a bathroom. Should be wholly salted. One, stand in the center of the room, pray briefly as above. Two, remain standing in the same spot. Three, sprinkle holy salt three times in a northerly direction. Hey, there wasn't a compass on the list of things we'd need. Then sprinkle holy salt three times in a southerly direction. Then sprinkle holy salt three times in an easterly direction. Then sprinkle holy salt three times in a westerly direction. There's nothing in there about where you get the holy salt. I'm sorry, you're going to have to figure that out for yourself. Four, sanctify all other things used in the ceremony, such as the bed, bed sheets, pillows, etc. They said handkerchief and clothes, that's all. Now, process of the ceremony, this is where it gets good. A, the first day, one, ceremony of the holy handkerchief. This is like something out of Monty Python. Behold the holy handkerchief! The purpose is to purify your body externally. First the woman does this, and then the man. The procedure is to... Are you writing this down, Agnes?
Nope.
The procedure is to first take a bath, and then clean your body with warm water. A bath or shower is okay. Then put a small amount of water in a basin or bowl and soak the holy handkerchief in it. It's the holy handkerchief of Antioch. Bring forth Brother Maynard! By doing this, the water is sanctified and has the same meaning as the holy water made by true parents. Oh dear. Then a prayer is offered individually with contents something like this. A prayer of thanks for having been given the blessing and for having been purified internally through the holy wine ceremony. Please purify my body externally with this holy water. Wash your whole body with the holy handkerchief three times. Isn't it going to get a little schmutty? If there is some water remaining in the bowl, use it to wash your body, or if it is too much, keep it for the next day. This holy water should not be thrown away. Keep your holy handkerchief and the container separate from your spouse's in preparation for the second day. Put on the holy gowns. Stand in the positions as shown below. Sorry, it's radio. Can't help you there. Since the fall took place out of the sight of God the Father, the photo of the true parents, that's Reverend and Mrs. Moon, plays the role of God. To begin, the man and woman stand before God and the true parents, as in Sunday pledge service, and make three full bows, figure one. Then the woman takes a position between the places of true father and true mother and seats herself facing the man. Note, the woman is on the right side, opposite from pledge, because she stands in the subject position. Oh, my God.
Don't you even.
Her place is slightly forward to the true parents' positions. Prayer of thanks for having been given position of new bride of the Messiah. Please make this man who's in the position of archangel reborn and resurrected as a sinless Adam through this ceremony. Ah, part three, act of love. Agnes? Kids are out of earshot, right?
Yes.
To perform the act of love, the man lies on his back and the woman lies on him. Nah, I'm not going for it. No. Second day. Now, third day. Can't do second day. Ah, third day, the man washes first using the same... The contents of man's prayer. Thank you for having me reborn as sinless Adam through the first two ceremonies. I pray that through the ceremony today, we may become an eternal couple as husband and wife, and that each of us can have the triple objective relationship of love with each other. I pray that I may restore all the conditions that the first Adam lost. Then the woman says, after the man finishes his prayer, the woman in the position of wife offers a prayer in response to the man's prayer. Ah, then they do the act of love again.
Are there people watching
this? Oh, for the act of love, it is all right to caress each other. you get the idea. These people...
Just put up a link.
You know, I think in the little music program, you've just got to permanently have Patsy Cline's Crazy ready just at a moment's notice. Okay? This is what we're talking about. The Moonies. These are the people who have bought the government. The number one news source for so-called conservatives in America is the Washington Times. a wholly owned subsidiary of Looney Mooney, Inc. You know, I forgot to suggest to Mr. Ziliox, please stay off small aircraft. These people are killers.
Sounds like they're doing something else.
Does this just make you want to scream? Yeah, I know. I know. You know, and again, look, if people want to believe it, that's fine. But because you believe it, it's just like Dobson. It's just like Falwell. It's Falwell, who was paid off, bought off, and bailed out by the Moonies. The Robertson, the whole filthy crowd. If you want to believe in this fantasy superstition garbage, fine. Go ahead. But quit acting like you've got the right to demand that the rest of us abandon our common sense and believe it with you. Because, see, there's not a dime's worth of difference between the fundamentalism of Falwell, the fundamentalism of Robertson, the fundamentalism of Dobson, the fundamentalism of Bin Laden, and the fundamentalism of Reverend Moon. True parents. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being part of a religion where you've got to hang a picture of Reverend and Mrs. Moon over your bed before you can do the nasty? That would just stop me. I mean, really? Agnes is over here and she's got a case of the blind shakes. Yeah, just kind of the whole thing, overdone. I mean, if you want to do it outside the accepted position, do you have to put a blindfold on the true mother and the true father? How old is this old coot? When's he going to die? But you know what? There's another moon behind him, and a moon behind him, and a moon behind him, and a moon behind him. It's just like the old Hindu creation myth. It's turtles all the way down. And it's depressing. You know, there's a reason we can't find a fundamentalist like Bin Laden. We've got fundamentalists in our government looking for him. And at the end of the day, they think, you know, he's probably not such a bad guy. After all, he believes a lot of it. I mean, you've heard George Bush say it. He believes in the same, Muslims believe in the same God we do. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, and above us, only sky.
Not in their world.
It's all populated with archangels and holy handkerchiefs and holy salt. I mean, are there like holy bay leaves? And holy nutmeg and what? Sanctified curry powder and... I'm reading a wonderful book right now about our energy future, and it's got a lovely chapter on the origin of the species. And Agnes and I were talking about it earlier today. And somewhere along the way, Homo erectus, or Homo habilis becomes Homo erectus becomes Homo sapiens, and somewhere in there, one of these critters invented God. And there in the troop, or the clan, or the tribe, or whatever, one of them invented God, and some other one said, you know, take him out and get him lost, would you? He's crazy. And they said, no, his God will be mad at us. And they wound up killing the guy, killing the proto-human who said, that guy's crazy. And it's been all downhill from there. News is next. Your phone calls. If you want to light it up, light it up. Lines are open. 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on your nickel. It's 304-658-5453. This is America's liberal voice. America's common sense voice. For heaven's sakes, holy salt. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Has frozen over.
Chosen to admit it. Telling me,
This is the Quality News Network. The U.S. trade deficit reached a six-month high of nearly $4.64 billion in March, while the Dow Jones had a triple-digit drop today. We'll have more in our business block coming up next. President Bush said he's willing to allow benchmarks in the Iraq War funding bill to measure progress in Iraq. The president is under pressure politically to negotiate with Congress. House members are expected to vote today on a two-step war funding bill that President Bush has promised to veto. The measure would provide roughly half the funding until July, and then the second half of the war money would be given after a progress report and a second congressional vote. A group of moderate Republican congressmen met with the president earlier this week to express their concerns about the war and its effects on their party. In the private meeting, they told the president that conditions in Iraq need to improve dramatically or else Republicans will desert him on support for the war. President Bush is urging Congress to give his troop buildup in Iraq a chance to work. He said, quote, "Why don't we wait and see what happens?" The top U.S. commander, General David Petraeus, will report in September on how effective the troop buildup is. After a decade in office, British Prime Minister Tony Blair announced he will step down on June 27th. He said he did what he thought was right in standing by the U.S. after the September 11th attacks and joining the U.S. as an ally in the Iraq War. When Blair was first elected in 1997, he was 43 years old, thus the youngest prime minister in 20th century British history. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez was questioned by the House Judiciary Committee today about the 8 fired U.S. prosecutors scandal. He admitted that he didn't remember any new details. Republicans want the investigation to be closed. Russian President Vladimir Putin made a blunt and vague statement which criticized the U.S. and linked the American policies to the Third Reich. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, who travels to Moscow next week, described the Russian president's recent moves to roll back reforms and to consolidate power as troubling. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We have business and science next.
Terry's Lounge at the Cypress Inn in downtown Carmel invites you to a great evening of your favorite foods, beverages, and live music Thursday through Saturday, featuring Dick Whittington and friends from 6 to 9:30. Terry's Lounge in the Cypress Inn features an appetizer-sized menu and our famous burger, salad, and fries. Afternoon tea, a great local tradition, is served from 1 to 4 p.m. daily by reservation. Sunday evenings are special as Richard Divnick entertains from 5 to 8 p.m. with classical renditions of pop, jazz, and classical music. Join the fun, food, and music at Terry's Lounge in the Cypress Inn, corner of Lincoln and 7th. In downtown Carmel.
Many retailers report weak retail sales in April. Walmart had the worst monthly same-store sales in 28 years. Abercrombie & Fitch and Federated Department Stores also reported a drop in business. The president of a market research company says higher gasoline prices and a sluggish housing market are pressuring low- and middle-income consumers. The U.S. Treasury Department is investigating controversial filmmaker Michael Moore, who took ill September 11th workers to Cuba for a new documentary on healthcare titled Sicko. He may have violated the U.S. trade embargo, which restricts travel to Cuba. Moore has not commented yet. The founder of JetBlue Airways, who was also CEO, was replaced by the company's president today. A few months ago, weather-related problems forced the airline to basically shut down for several days. The chairman and CEO of HBO, Chris Albrecht, lost his job yesterday after he was arrested over the weekend in Las Vegas on suspicion of assaulting his girlfriend in Los Angeles. Light sweet crude oil has been trading above the 61 a barrel mark today. It is currently trading at $61.81 a barrel. At the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones had a triple digit drop, down 148 points, the NASDAQ down 43 points, and the S&P down 21 points. This is QNN.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
I've got a simple request. Yeah, I mean, you know what it, you know what the news does to me. And it's having done this kind of thing, it's easy to fall into news speak or news write. And you use the, a vicious, let's see, what is it, a heinous rape, a vicious murder. There are just, okay. If I had my druthers, I would send out an editorial memo across the land to news writers for broadcast everywhere saying, we no longer say phrases like, a group of moderate Republicans visited President Bush today. Because you know what? That's like saying a group of pterodactyls visited President Bush today. There's no such thing as a moderate Republican. You want to find out for yourself? Go back and look at, what was it? Was it the Senate vote during the minimum wage debate? Where Republican after Republican, moderates included, voted yay on an amendment to utterly destroy the minimum wage. Do you remember that? I remember that. So stop with the moderate Republican shtick. Because, I've heard right-wing radio yackers from time to time. There's no such thing as a moderate Muslim. They all hate women. Blah, 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 blah. Well, guess what? There's no such thing as a moderate Republican. Remember when we were told that Susan Collins and, who's the other... Senator from Maine, that they were moderate Republicans. How did they vote on Chief Justice Roberts, knowing full well that he hated a woman's right to make her own medical decisions? How did they vote? Why, they voted moderately Republican, in other words, in favor. How did the moderate Republican senators vote on Samuel Alito, who said things like, from the bench, that, for instance, it's okay to use deadly force to shoot down a fleeing 15-year-old black man who has no weapons and is no threat to an officer, and said, yeah, that's okay, gun him down. How did they vote on Samuel Alito? Why, they voted moderately Republican. In other words, in favor. Fakes and frauds. No, not even that. 11 Easter bunnies visited President Bush today. 11 Santa Clauses. 11 risen from the dead Lazaruses visited President Bush today. 11 moderate Republicans. Kiss my... I stopped, Agnes. I didn't. Oh, by the way, a couple of emails, some comments from our very good buddy David in Middle Tennessee. These ripigs, these Congress weasels, go to the chimp in charge last Tuesday. Oh, Mr. Chimp, you need to come off this war jive. Subject line of the emails, let's not give them a pat on the back. So we should offer congratulations, a laurel and hearty handshake, to ripigs as becoming working members of Congress, maybe late, but finally they see the light, says David. Not quite. They don't care a bit more today about our 3,400 dead and 30-plus thousand maimed than they did 6 months ago, or I'll add 3 years ago. They fear one thing. They fear losing their seat in Congress. The American people might be waking up. That is the root of their concern.
if the next president was likely to be a repig and coattail their asses back into office, it would be crickets. These evil, evil repiglicans simply want to hold on to their seats. And it is the God's honest and unfly-blown truth. Isn't it? Is there anything to suggest that I'm incorrect in this assertion? I don't think so. Let's go to the phones. Our good friend Steady is calling in. Out on the road, I do believe, or maybe got to where he's going. Hey, Steady, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how are you? Good to hear you on air.
Oh, thank you, Steady. How you doing?
I'm doing good, and hello to all the listeners and people in the chat room. I'm actually in Rhode Island now, and out in front of the house, pacing, making sure I got good service and away from the entourage of payday here with the crew at the Shipboard Electrical and Air. Half the crew went out, and the other half are enjoying the early day that we had. But I've been working 12-hour days and enjoying honest, hard work, doing what I do for a real living as a professional, and that's an electrician in a new industry, if you will, by way of marine electrical work. And working today on the Rolls-Royce steering gear and steering control unit, I picked this stuff up, no problem. I found problems with the print as I'm trying to identify some cables, so I took that back and asked for a new copy that actually gave me what I needed to figure the stuff out. So I'm feeling pretty good and stoked about the diversity and ability to just show up on the scene, something I've never done, at least applications of electricity that I've never worked with, and to rise to the occasion. It's a great boost of confidence.
Got to stretch the brain, Steady. Stretch the brain.
It's great. It's great. Different types of cables and materials and applications, but, you know, I'm working just below the wheelhouse or the bridge and on a Rolls-Royce solid-state control unit for steering a seagoing tugboat. I thought I was going to be working on warships, but we're working on a...
That's pretty cool, too, though.
It's really cool, actually. A 160-foot tugboat.
Wow.
It's running over schedule and running over budget, but they're determined to get it done. We might not get it done here in Rhode Island before their lease is up on the dock, and we might have to go to Maryland. So we'll see how that goes out, how that goes. But referencing back to your moderate Republican stuff, I'm reading the Bush on the Couch. I got that at Camp Democracy, actually. Somebody gave me that when I was there.
Great book.
I got into the first couple chapters, but, you know, we were kind of up and down there. I didn't have real leisure time after Camp Democracy. But I read about the moderate Republican, how Bush promised some of his AmeriCorps, for instance, that I was working with down in doing the Katrina relief, how he promised them an increase in funding. And it turns out that Justin Frank documented, and I guess I'm not sure where the source is or how you verify that stuff, but he said he cut the AmeriCorps funding 80%. And this is the Republican agenda. The moderates are still into ruthless cuts in public programs. And, you know, it's just good to hear the show. I'm away from the computer and the Internet, and it's just good to tune in. Even on hold is good, Bob.
Well, thank you, Steady. I appreciate it. And, I mean, you're setting up housekeeping there and everything?
Yeah, we're in like a 5-bedroom house and 2 guys per room, and we leave here at 6:30 in the morning and get back. We get off at 7, or we leave here at 6. Excuse me. Start work at 6:30, off at 7, and
that's a long day.
It's a 12-hour day. We're working 6/12s and 1/10, I think. I haven't finished a full week here. I just finished my fourth day, and it was a payday, so they let the guys off early to go cash their checks. But since I didn't work last week, I don't have a check yet, but I've got one coming. That's good news.
Yeah, yeah, it is. But I tell you what, that's I trust there's a, I mean, you know, there's labor laws involved here. I hope they're following doing this all according to Hoyle.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and just not to get into specifics of pay, but what the type of pay I'm making out here is a couple bucks more than what I would have been making for Northrop Grumman. And we're working an 84 or 75 hour week, which puts you into time and a half for almost, you know, you get 2 weeks pay in 1 week.
Wow. Wow. Well, Steady, stay in touch, will you, buddy?
Thank you, Bob. I love the outlet, and I will. And
hey, maybe if you're making that kind of money, you can get a cheap little laptop and be listening in and let your buddies in the house hear what we're doing.
Yeah, first check is I will be getting a laptop, and I that's exciting. But hello to everybody in the chat room. I love all of you so much. I miss you, and special hi to Arbor if she's out there.
I hope she is. All right, you take care, Steady.
Okay, bye now.
Bye now. All right, we'll take a little break and come back. You know, we look at, by the way, just checking in real quick. Let's see, CNN webpage, updated 7:49 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Nope. Not a blessed word about Alberto Gonzalez's testimony. Gee whiz. So anyway, break coming up. You know the phone number, 877-443-2366, 877-4, head on your nickel, 304-658-5453. Learn it, know it, use it. Email real easy to bob@headonradio.com. This is America's liberal voice. We'll be back.
As we did, the son exclaims there'll be nothing to do till her daughter says she'll be dead with you. While foreign affairs are screwing rotten, light morale has hit rock bottom. Dying embers stand forgotten. Talks of peace will be in trial.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 3/4. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha!
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Two past the hour. I heard the waves lapping at the seashore, and for a minute there, I thought it was going to be Hart's Dreamboat Annie. Teach me to think. Let's see. I'm having computer problems here, and I don't like it. Got all hung up. Darn it. Oh, well, it'll get well in a minute. I've had something on the threat board, as the saying goes, for a few days now that we haven't gotten to, because there's been so much other stuff to attend to. You're well familiar with the savage wiener, Michael Wiener. And, you know, and sometimes I wonder, I share this stuff with you so that, A, you won't have to listen to it and waste your time otherwise. We can just clip out the really hateful stuff and let you know what the nature of right-wing hate is. I mean, you know, same crap, different day to a certain extent. But every now and then, it gets so doggone outrageous that I can't help sharing particular chunks of it with you. In this particular instance, you've got the raving paranoia. I mean, you know, like in give the guy the cool white Jenner jacket with the sleeves that tie in the back and put the purple crayon between his toes and put him in the rubber room and let him have at it. That kind of raving paranoia of Michael the Savage Wiener. Long thing. We're gonna take a little bit of time with it because you deserve to hear it. What this centers on is some legislation that has been introduced in the House that would restore what is called the Fairness Doctrine. Okay? You're familiar with the Fairness Doctrine, of course. It's something that a long, long time ago obtained in American media that said both sides of a debate had to be aired as a function of owning a broadcast license to use the public airwaves. Okay. So... the Media Ownership Reform Act, M-O-R-A, MORA, has been introduced in the House. The author is a Representative Maurice Hinchey of New York, a Democrat.
And basically, it speaks to the media ownership rules that were promulgated or torn down by the Michael Powell FCC that conglomerates media ownership into the hands of a few oligarchs and makes it much less likely that the truth can get out. Frankly, I don't care if the CBS, NBC, ABC quits broadcasting tomorrow. I don't care if the New York Times quits publishing tomorrow, because it doesn't have a damn thing to do with what we do here. Because we're building an entirely separate media form. But boy, it sure appears to matter to the savage wiener. You are about to hear what? On-air apoplexy. I mean the fantods. And the lying, oh my God, the lying. Let's just get it started there, Agnes.
Today's story, though, is about the enemy within. It's a very important story because I never thought that I'd see National Socialism appear in the United States of America.
Really?
Right now, the most extreme wing of the Democrat Party are aping and mimicking
Democratic, you
the
idiot.
Exact rhetoric of the National Socialist Party of Germany in the 1930s.
Huh?
They call themselves liberals. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you, they are Nazis by every definition. On my website, I'm going to read you my headline. Dems declare Michael Savage a threat to national security and want him removed from radio, using the same rhetoric as Hitler's National Socialists.
Oh, stop it! Nobody declared Michael Savage a threat to national security. That is an attempt to bolster his failing ratings. Because Savage, Limbaugh, O'Reilly, they've got this the average age of the average listener to this kind of putrid crap is about 100. And they're desperate to try to scare somebody into listening some more, because there's radios just turning off all over the country as new media formats, new media forms are discovered and promulgated and put out there like the horn. Okay, so nobody, please, nobody has declared Michael Savage an enemy of the state or a national security threat. That's just a lie. It's just, this is what they do. They are untruthful. They are liars. Continue, please.
See sponsors of Nazi bill moving through Congress, H.R. 3302. Now, if it was just left-wingers with their pressure groups saying these things, I would pay no attention to it. We are talking about a bill working its way through Congress that would declare Michael Savage, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, and Bill O'Reilly threats to national security.
Stop it. There is no such bill moving through Congress. In point of fact, and see, this is what the Savage Wiener and Flemball and O'Reilly and Hannity have to rely on, okay? They have to rely on the basic, fundamentalist, dirt, dumb ignorance of their audience. See, people like me, Mark Levine, Guy James, John Fox, Joe Vecchio, Mike Malloy, Tom Hartman, Randy Rhodes, we count on the fundamental intelligence of our audience, the people who share their time with us. If we make a mistake, any of it. If we make a mistake, there'll be 5 dozen emails in the box immediately. Hey, no, not like that. You screwed up. I misattributed the authorship of Ringworld the other night and got straightened up in a hurry by more than one person. And that's great, because I'm a liberal. I'm a progressive. I'm a human. I'm not afraid to be wrong. Most of the times, I'm not. But I do make mistakes, and I can freely admit them. Not these clowns. They have to make crap up. I mean, do you realize, you realize that their listeners don't. That if Congress passed a bill declaring that Michael the Savage Wiener, who once sent a postcard to Allen Ginsberg the poet, stating that he wanted to stick his camera lens up Ginsberg's behind and take pictures because it would remind him of the little brown people he was hanging out with in Fiji, that guy, if Congress passed a law calling him a threat to national security, it would be what is called a bill of attainder. And bills of attainder are expressly forbidden in the United States Constitution. But you see, the Savage Wiener knows about as much about the United States Constitution as a hog does about Easter hats. Maybe less. So he can get away with this, and he knows that the demographic that listens to him is dumber than a handful of hammers. And that's why, I'm sorry. I want you to. I mean, this is what the other side's getting. These are the people that you're trying to straighten out. These are the people that you're trying to wrestle control of America back from. Hit it, Agnes.
And remove us from the radio. Now, I want you to think about what that means. They're saying that people in the media who they disagree with are a threat to national security. This is the exact rhetoric that Hitler used in his march to take over Germany. If you don't understand the danger you are in, then you are an ignoramus. I have a list of the National Socialists who sponsored it on MichaelSavage.com.
Your listeners are ignorami. That's plural of ignoramus. Plural of ignoramus isn't ignoramuses. It's ignorami. Ignorami. Ain't I smart? I mean, this is the exact rhetoric that Hitler used in his march to take over Germany. If you don't understand the danger that you're in, then you're an ignoramus. Really? No. Okay, go on, Agnes.
The chief National Socialist or Nazi is Congressman Maurice Hinchey of New York. I never heard of this bum, but this bum, Congressman Maurice Hinchey, apparently is in an area near Woodstock, New York, which is astounding to me, that people in Woodstock, New York, who declare themselves such liberals, would actually want to take the American media and turn it into a government-owned media.
Who said that? Wait. Who said it was going to be government-owned media? Nobody. It's not in the bill. There's no government-owned media in the bill. There's no requirement to take Sean Hannity, that little life support system for a haircut, or Falafel Boy O'Reilly, or the Oxymoron, or the Savage Wiener. There's no requirement to remove them from the airwaves. None at all. You know, because the commie ACLU would be having a fit. You know, you know how they are with the ACLU. They'd have a fit, and rightly so. But instead, the Savage Wiener just keeps making up stuff out of the polluted little the dioxin-laced pond of his what used to be a brain.
Those like Maurice Hinchey want the final solution for conservatives on talk radio.
Oh, now, wait, whoa. The final solution for conservatives on talk radio. How about that? Now these paranoid ravings have gone to the point that he believes that he is actually... What did I say a few minutes ago talking with Diana about the Moonies? On the one hand, they'll tell you that, we are legion, there are millions of us, we are the majority. How many times have you... Oh, my friends, the conservatives are in the majority. Well, who the hell's persecuting you then, Flush? Who's persecuting you, Wiener? Who is it? Oh, it's Maurice Hinchey. Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Heard of this bum, but he's up there. And his name is Hinchy in Woodstock, New York area. Let's go down the list of this dastardly act, H.R. 3302. Here are the names of the National Socialists of today. Representative DeFazio, Peter, Oregon. Representative Bob Filner, California. Representative Alcee Hastings, Florida. Representative Marcy Kaptur, Ohio. Representative Barbara Lee, California. Representative Jim McDermott, Washington. Representative James Moran, Virginia. Representative Major Owens, New York. Representative Bernard Sanders, he's now a senator, Vermont. Representative Janice Schakowsky. Representative Louise Slaughter, Hilda Solis. Pete Starkey, California. Maxine Waters, California. Diane Watson, California. Lynn Woolsey, California. These are the Nazis of today. They are far more dangerous than the clownish neo-Nazis that march with swastikas, because these National Socialists mean business, and these National Socialists are congressmen.
Okay, wait,
and these
Agnes,
National
please.
Socialists are working a bill for...
Shut him up. Notice how he continues to use the phrase National Socialist instead of Nazi. This is framing, okay? Because if you'll go out and you read on the filthy right-wing blogs, more and more lately they're saying, well, the Nazis were National Socialists. They were socialists. That's why they called themselves socialists. It was socialism. The Nazis were liberals. The Nazis were left-wing. I kid you not. They do this. It's how they are. They have got to, again, they will cry out, even though they claim to be a majority, they will cry out that they are persecuted. And they will identify a flaw in the other side of their debate and set up a straw man with it, which then actually represents how they are. Take a hard look at the Bush administration, then take a hard look at the liberals. Tell me who more closely resembles a National Socialist. Nazi. See, he has to say National Socialist because somebody might pick up on him if he called them Nazis, and then he'd get a bunch of hell for it. Oh, no, we're calling them socialists. Now, I've had about enough of this freak. Wait. We might come back to it, Agnes. But I want to point something out to you about the fairness doctrine. There's a great hue and cry out there for the fairness doctrine on our side, because some people actually think that stations, for instance, that air 6 hours of Savage and Limbaugh could somehow be compelled to air 6 hours of Balance coming from a liberal talker. It's a bunch of bull. Okay? I am not in favor of restoring the fairness doctrine. What? I don't just do things, and I don't just say things. I'll tell you why I'm not. We are chock-a-block with right-wing gabbers. I mean, and they've got such a lock on things that a guy like Michael Del Giorno can get thrown out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, where he invade against gambling. Oh God, they're going to bring the demon gambling to Oklahoma, and then he gets busted trying to pull a bet at a blackjack table, gets fired, and bang, it's like landing in a bed of rose petals. He moves from Tulsa to a much bigger market. This dumbass is on the air at WLAC in Nashville now, spewing the same filthy right-wing hate. Okay? There's hundreds of them. And there's hundreds of networks that promulgate this garbage. Now, who's going to lose in the fairness doctrine? There's Nova M. Essentially, the only liberal network that's really getting off the ground and trying to do it right. Taking small steps, growing, building. Now, welcome to the Fairness Doctrine. KPHX in Phoenix doesn't run Limbaugh. They don't run Savage. They don't run Laura Ingraham or Dr. Laura or O'Reilly or Hannity. And I know there's a lot of folks that listen to KPHX in this audience. Tell me, KPHX listeners, do you want KPHX to have to run Limbaugh? Because, Sunshine, the Fairness Doctrine is a sword with two blades. It cuts left and it cuts right. We don't have any filthy conservatives on the Head On Radio Network because we will not allow any conservatives on the Head On Radio Network. We will never allow any conservatives on the Head On Radio Network. I joke about, oh, I wish a conservative would call. I don't want a conservative to call. My time is too valuable to sit and try to explain to somebody who was so daggum stupid that he voted for George Bush once and maybe twice why he's wrong. I will not cast my pearls before swine. And Bush voters are swine. Schweinhund. Pig dogs. Now, Fairness Doctrine. Want me to have to start running conservatives on the horn? That's the Fairness Doctrine. Gotta have balance. Gotta offer opposing viewpoints. How would you like to tune in to the horn some night and after this program be subjected to 3 hours of right-wing filth? You want that? Let me tell you, I'll turn the lights off and we'll quit before a conservative will ever have so much as one damned kilobit byte bot go down our stream. And I wouldn't presume to speak for Air America or Nova M or anybody else out there trying to do liberal programming, progressive conversation, progressive talk. But I, for one, want no part of the Fairness Doctrine because it works. Because the math doesn't work. We don't have enough people out there doing progressive talk to offer balance to the Limbaughs and the Hannitys and the O'Reillys and the Dr. Lauras and the Laura Ingrahams and the on and on and on and on. And it is a daily struggle for liberal progressive conversationalists to remain on the air. On the other hand, there's lots of them. And they could swamp and destroy what we have, what we are building in the way of progressive talk in a matter of weeks. This is, you know, honest to God, this is Brer Rabbit stuff. All this frothing and fulminating that the Savage Wiener's doing about it. Oh, they're National Socialists. This is, oh, please, Brer Fox, don't throw me in the Fairness Doctrine patch. God, they want it. Because it'll be the end of progressive talk. It will be the end of it in America. We will be buried. Let's go to the phones. Wayne's calling. Hey, Wayne, welcome to the program.
Hey. I want you to take calls from conservatives. I don't want you to have a show of conservatives, but I want you to take calls again because when did this all didn't start getting archived until we did Head On and Ben Burch. Am I correct?
Right, yeah, February 2004.
Okay, well, you know, the old shows on NR.
Well, and some of those are NR shows. I mean, yeah, they're there.
Some of them are?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, I want these religious right conservative people to call you like they used to on that old show, so that the people on the internet now and the Head On network could hear how you, I don't know, debunk these people.
Debunk, deball, degut, you know. Yeah, oh, yeah, I mean, I used to have a lot.
Especially, Bob, you know, when they started out with scripture and biblical this and blah, 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 and you are so well more, I don't know, is that a right word, well more?
Well-versed, anyway, yeah.
You're more educated, more, and, you know, you blow them apart, and I think that answers a lot of questions and doubts that maybe not conservatives, but people that are leaning, or do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
So are not so sure about why they kind of think they're liberal. But wait a minute, that ain't right, you know?
Yeah.
And some of those conversations you had, I think, are very educational. And you tore the son of a bitches up.
Well, there's
pardon my language.
No, look, it was fun for me. Okay, it was. If you've ever seen, say, a boa constrictor looking at the mouse in the corner of the cage, I felt like the boa constrictor there. I was going to win because I had the facts and I had the truth. And it was, it wasn't even in many instances, it wasn't even an intellectual exercise, Wayne. But what I'm trying
not
to get
on their part for sure.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But I can sit there and go Bible verse for Bible verse with a fundamentalist all day long because, you know, I grew up in the belly of the beast. But I'm trying to, let me also add, those people are becoming fewer and fewer and fewer.
That's not, I don't believe that.
No. The hardcore right wing conservative, you know, they used to call and get in my face on the Beckley station.
Yeah.
Those people are drying up and going away because all we
they ain't drying up and going away in Beckley, pal. I'm gonna tell you that now.
Well, no, they don't dry up and go away if they've got somebody there that'll sit there, amen, brother, hallelujah, and high, you know, give them the radio equivalent of a high five as long as it's a mutual admiration society. But
that's what they got going on. Yeah.
But they don't want any part of debate anymore because they can't win it. I remember it, Wayne. Hey, we caught Saddam. You going to apologize now?
Yeah.
Hell no. What'd you get? You got Saddam. Attaboy.
Whoopie thing. And that was all some kind of setup thing anyway.
And then you hit him over the head a few minutes. They got nothing left. So, you know, they can sit there in the echo chamber. Why won't they support the troops? Well, it doesn't fly if you're dealing with somebody who's involved in the facts.
I know, but I think there's a lot more people that want the facts. I think there are people out there that'll listen, and it makes them wonder, and, you know. I mean, you got to admit, I mean, you changed some attitudes there.
Oh, yeah, I did.
I mean, not maybe not in that building, but on the air.
Well, yeah. No, without a doubt, we did. But you know, the other side of that side of this, Wayne, is they do call. They don't get on the air, but they call and they say vulgar things to my wife and hang up like the little, you know, chicken shits that they are.
Oh, well, I don't want them to do that.
You know, she says, you want to go on the air with Bob? No, you whore! And they hang up.
Oh, ain't that brave.
Well, that's how they are. This is the Bush voter crowd. If they can't be we finally gotten to the point where we started punching the bullies in the nose.
Yeah.
And they run away. And they scream dirty words at you halfway down the block where you can't come down and kick their asses.
And then they become guerrilla fighters.
Yeah, I don't know. Out there fighting gorillas.
Well, that's what they think they are. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, on the one hand, there's too much to talk about. I could, you know, Wayne, I could do a 6-hour show every night.
There's no doubt about it.
Because
that,
there's mind. That much information. Agnes is like, you know, you try it, buddy. Yeah. She ain't doing no 6-hour show.
No, I bet she ain't. I don't blame her.
But there's some, and that's what I'm getting at. But with the fairness doctrine thing, it will be the death of this little fledgling attempt at liberal conversation.
Did you read that thing that Kostak sent today?
I glanced at it, but I didn't know. Yeah, I did, but I didn't.
Well, that's another very good article.
Oh, our buddy Kost doesn't miss any. He's got an eye for the good stuff.
No, well, it's come down. Well, you know, and that's what the whole article is about. You know, this thing. I mean, everything is. Well, we live in a corporatist, a fascist state. That's what's happened.
Sure.
And you know, people are not quick enough to realize that, and it's time that people do. You know, this is. I mean, just like that article I pointed out tonight, the other night about.
It's about the oil.
About the oil. You know, I mean, I'm sorry. That's what it is. It's money. It's corporatism. It's greed. It's, you know, it's fascist.
Yeah.
What it is.
And I don't disagree with it. I know, I've studied fascism. I know what fascism
right.
is
well,
about.
And you know, I mean, and the point of the whole thing is, you know, Democrat, Republican, whatever they want to call themselves, this thing is completely out of control. And they're all, well, the majority of them are guilty.
Yeah. But where the, where
you know
the,
what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
You know.
Where the fairness doctrine is concerned, I want to win fair and square. I want to bury these right-wing bastards.
You can't win fair and square if you're not allowed on the air.
That's why we're reinventing the media here.
That's exactly what we're doing. Or trying to do anyway.
But I don't think that our side is given this full thought. They just see this as a way of maybe trying to cut into the market a little bit for Limbaugh and so forth. But they don't understand that it cuts us too.
Well, listen, man. I mean, that's one of the problems with our side.
What? Not thinking?
Exactly. I mean, there's a majority of them that the only thing they're thinking about is how am I going to be reelected. What do I have to tell? What do I have to go along with? What do I have to lie about?
And on its
whatever
face,
it is, I don't give a damn because I just want to be reelected. That's the most important thing in the world. And, you know, that has got to change. We have to, you know, these people have become corporatists also. Just because they call themselves a Democrat don't mean, you know,
yeah,
they're on our side. And, you know, and they play games and they make themselves look good, you know. It's time to start holding people accountable. And
I couldn't agree more. No. I just this fairness doctrine thing was something that I heard a lot on our side holler about. And, oh, we got to get the fairness doctrine back. It won't work. It will not work, and we will be accused of, you know, well, you couldn't win in the war of ideas,
it won't
so
work
you
as
had
as long as three. Corporations own all the media. Or
media own, but please, media ownership is a separate issue from the fairness doctrine.
Well, that's true too.
Media ownership. I don't believe that five companies should be able to own every TV station, newspaper, and radio station in the country. It runs counter even to capitalism, for the love of God. But, on the other hand, to sit there and dictate and say, well, you run 3 hours of Rush, you got to run 3 hours of a liberal. Well, what do you do with the liberal stations? You're going to have to make them run 3 hours of Rush if you're running 3 hours of a liberal. And we cannot have our cake and eat it, too, on this front, Wayne, because if we... if something like this goes through, then they're gonna squeal because they're still gonna have the airwaves and they're gonna start squealing. Well, they couldn't win in the marketplace of ideas, so they had to censor us. That's why I played this crap from Savage. The guys working.
But I mean, so what's the answer then? If it's not the fairness doctrine, well, you know, and maybe you've already explained that.
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Well, I have about a million times. If liberals and progressives want liberal media, they had better, by God, get behind it with their wallets. And it's as simple as that. I mean, you know, these whether it's
you know I don't disagree with that.
Whether it's think tanks or conservative corporations. Or the conservative political operations, they have created this. It took them 40 years to do it,
and they did very well.
Yeah. I mean, they took issues that were dead losers and made the American... I mean, they handed the American people a poop sandwich and made them eat it and like it.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, can you imagine winning politically by telling people they were making too much money with that dirty union? That's crazy. But the thing is, they said it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 40 years, and after a while people got, you know, the hypnosis kicks in and you go, I'm making too much money, I don't need a union, and bang, Reagan Revolution. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
I mean, you saw it happen.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we've got stuff that we can really make hay out of. We've got good wages, good jobs, good benefits, a dignified retirement, college education for your kids' future. We've got issues that have real meat on the bones.
Yeah, we do.
And the fairness doctrine isn't what's going to bring those ideas back. It's people with the money to do it getting behind liberal media, not just us, liberal media organizations, and pushing it forward and not sitting there going, well, when am I going to get a return on my investment? Some of this is ideology, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
But, there we are preaching to the choir again.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't know. I got to have hope that someday we'll find somebody that understands what the hell we're doing, and I think that day may come. You know,
I know it will. As long as we've got the guts to keep at it.
Well, it's
yeah.
It got to be, man.
It does.
It's got to be.
So. All right, man. We're up against it. We're done.
How'd we do that?
No, we're out of time.
Okay.
Damn clock.
All right. I'll be talking to you.
All right, take it easy, brother.
Okay, bye.
See ya. Thanks, everybody. You know, I hope you're not upset or anything. I hope you haven't, like, hung a lot of ideological weight or hopes or anything on the fairness doctrine. But you know what? It's a poison pill. I promise you, it is. And that's coming from as big a liberal and as big a progressive as you're ever going to find. But this is not the place that the Congress needs to be spending its time, no matter how well-intended they are. Hey, all those sponsors of that bill, you know what? They've all got humongous multi-million-dollar war chests. They want to foster fairness. They can take some of that war chest and hire Head-On Communications as a consulting firm. Totally legal. Completely straight up. And we'll consult for them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They can pump money into Nova M, and know that they're building the future, and it's not instant gratification. Oh, damn it, I'm ranting again. Thanks, Agnes, for producing. Thanks, Brian Reznor. Thanks, John Fox. Thanks, Peter Godbold. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Ben Birch, the hardest working man in liberal talk, who's still trying to raise money. Please do the right thing. Thank you to the United Brotherhood of Carpenters. Go to bed, Liza. Love you. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you. Radio Network.
Bush would veto new Iraq bill. U.S. Embassy ordered to wear flak jackets and helmets. Cheney says Iraq's still a dangerous place. 60% of Americans want pull-out timetable. Bush allegedly assures Saudis no war exit on his watch. New Bush nominee found to have race-baiting past. Gonzalez says, Congress, let's talk about something else. Bush tours Kansas. Shock jock unrepentant over derogatory Obama song. Senate okays bill overhauling nation's drug safety system. U.S. could look to cut Iraqi troops this year, says Gates. GA to back further measures against Iran. Guantanamo base to be U.S. Immigration Welcome Center. Britain moves one step closer to becoming a cashless society. Privacy law slows efforts on gun buyer data. Website to catalog 1.8 million known living creatures. Drink driving is risky? Try an aspirin. And cocaine energy drink pulled from the shelves. These are the issues ahead on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show. It's time to enter the wolf's den now.